As a maker working with electronics and microcontrollers, it's inevitable that you're going to end up with a project where you have components that all require different voltages. For example, you might want to drive large LEDs like this that need 12 volts DC, but control them with a microcontroller, like a particle photon, that requires 5 volts DC. In this episode, we're going to take a look at voltage regulators, like the popular LM7805, and show you how you can use them to create the various voltages needed in your project. And along the way, we'll take a look at unregulated and regulated power supplies and help you figure out what kind you have and whether or not you can use it in your projects. So with that, let's crank up the voltage and get started. I'm Brett Statham, and this is The Maker Show. So it seems like every project I start kind of looks like this at the beginning. It's a soup of various microcontrollers like Raspberry Pis or Arduinos or particle photons, various components, stepper motors, motors, LEDs, sensors, whatever, and power sources. And those could be unregulated or regulated power supplies, good old batteries, or these nice convenient USB power packs. And so I really need a way of sort of whittling down what controllers am I going to use, what components do I need, and what power sources am I going to start with. And that's kind of what we're going to be taking a look at here in this episode is what are these different power sources and how do we get the various voltages needed by our microcontrollers as well as the components that we're using in our projects. And so if we look at kind of the different power sources that we have, you can use just good old batteries. Now, I know this isn't normally what you see laying around the house, but these are just big 6 volt DC batteries, and I've combined a couple of them together to get 12 volts DC. And I actually used that last year at Halloween to drive some LEDs that I stuck on my son's costumes. So you can do that, but of course, the minute you start using batteries, they start draining. And so eventually, I got to replace these, and that means I got to pay attention to what their current value is and making sure that I get new ones when I need them and all that kind of stuff. So fine for maybe a Halloween project where I can carry this around in a backpack, but not such a good idea for a long-term product. Then of course we've got these USB power packs, and it's sort of the same idea there. They're just a little more convenient and easier to work with. Plus, all of these microcontrollers accept USB input and can pull power off of that. And so these give me a really convenient way to power my projects. And those are great for demos or temporary hacks or hackathons or that kind of stuff. But again, not great for a long-term solution. And that's really where more permanent power supplies like these come in. The problem is, and maybe you're like me at your house, you might have a box of power supplies that looks similar to this, and that's, you know, just leftover supplies from previous electronics. I think if you look through this, though, you'll find that they typically fall into two different categories. You either have these wallwart style, typically unregulated power supplies, or the larger power bricks from your laptops and printers and that kind of stuff that are regulated power supplies. And so I want to take a little bit of time to just talk about the differences between unregulated and regulated power supplies, although there's a ton of great resources, and I'm going to put links off to some other tutorials and videos in the show notes that you can go use if you want to know more about those. But with that, let me go ahead and set these aside. All right, so let's take a look at these wall warts. Typically, these are unregulated power supplies. Not always, you might find some that are actually regulated. But what does unregulated mean? Well, it means that there's no extra circuitry inside this power supply to ensure a constant, consistent, single DC output voltage. Now, in fact, if I look on the face of this guy, you can see that it's rated what do we got here? 15 volts DC at 300 milliamps. And that's a lie. Well, okay, maybe it's not a lie, but it's hardly ever true. What that's really saying is that this power supply will give you 15 volts if your load is about 300 milliamps. But if the load is less than 300 milliamps, you're likely going to get much more than 15 volts out of this. And in fact, if you draw more than 300 milliamps, which this will let you do, there's no protection against it, your voltage is actually going to drop below the rated voltage of 15 volts DC. And that's fine if you're driving something that is okay with that, you know, motors or DC light bulbs that are just going to run faster or slower or be, you know, brighter or dimmer according to that. But when we're starting to deal with electronics and microcontrollers and sensors, I tend to care a little bit more about exactly what voltages I'm dealing with here. But let me show you kind of briefly what's inside this. So I've cut this guy open ahead of time. And in fact, if I look inside there, I can see there's this transformer and just this little bit of circuit. And in fact, I can go ahead and just pull this guy out. And you'll see that I've got a transformer, and it actually pulls the voltage right in out of my outlet, 120 volts coming in. It comes into what's called the primary coil. And if you can see there, the wires in the primary coil are actually much thinner than the secondary coil, which is down below. Those secondary coil wires are thicker. And what that means is that I can get more turns on the primary coil than I can on the secondary coil, just because of the thickness of the wires. You just physically can't fit more turns in there. So what we end up with is more turns up here, fewer turns down below. That means I'm going to have a higher voltage coming in here and a lower voltage coming out. This is a step down AC transformer. Anyhow, off the other side, I see that I've just got a bunch of diodes, and those are doing a full wave bridge rectification, and they basically take that AC sine wave that's coming out. You know, it goes positive, and then it goes negative, and then comes back up, and then repeats. And it's basically just turning it into a bumpy, always positive DC signal. Those bumps, though, can be pretty irritating. So we smooth them out with this big filter capacitor here, and we still get ripple, but it's going to be less bumpy than if we didn't have that capacitor on there at all. Now, that capacitor can actually store a charge as well, so we want to be careful with that. This guy might actually have some juice in it, even though it's not plugged in. But there you go. That's kind of what's inside an unregulated power supply. So let me go ahead and set that aside. I'm not going to actually power this guy up. Not necessarily the safest thing to do, but let me grab this other one. And this one's rated at 12 volts DC and up to 600 milliamps out of this guy, right? Yep. 12 volts DC, 600 milliamps. Okay, cool. So it just so happens that I've got a motor over here that needs 12 volts DC. So I can show that there. And let's start out. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take my multimeter, and I'm going to plug this handy little terminal block that goes to a 2.1 millimeter female plug or jack, and that mates right up with the 2.1 millimeter male plug coming out of my power supply, right? So, and now I've got a power strip. Let me make sure right now this guy's off, so I can plug this in, and I know the power supply is not hot. But let me go ahead and take my multimeter here, and I'm going to set it to VDC. So I'm reading DC voltage, and let me get it there where you can see it. And I'm going to take the leads off my multimeter, and we'll hook them up to the red. That'll get me the positive coming out of the power supply, and the black, that'll get me the ground, or the negative. All right. So notice I'm already reading some voltage on that. It's at 1.3 volts, and that means it's just kind of gotten drained down by something else ahead of time. But let me go ahead. What do I mean by that? Remember that capacitor that's inside there should be actually charged up to whatever the rated voltage was or whatever voltage it was putting out. So it should be, you know, 12 volts DC, give or take some. Here it's sitting at about 1.3, and that means that when I turned it off, there must have been something still plugged in that drained some of that stuff out of the capacitor, some of that voltage out of the capacitor. But that's okay. It's off right now, a little bit of voltage sitting on it, but let me go ahead and turn it on, and we should see it jump up to, not 12 volts. It's jumping up to 15, almost 16 volts DC. But remember, this thing was rated at 12 volts DC, but there you go. I've got no load on this. I'm not drawing any current. I'm simply measuring what the voltage is coming out of that. So, I mean, there's really no load on this guy. And so what we see is when I'm drawing less than that rated 600 milliamps for this power supply, I actually get more voltage out. And that's why I was saying earlier, the rating that you see on the front of these things is a lie. It's and not that it's a lie, it's just hardly ever true. It's only ever really going to be true if you're drawing exactly 600 milliamps out, then you'll get about 12 volts. But anything less than that, you'll get more voltage. Anything more than the 600 milliamps, and you'll get less voltage out. So let's test this out here. I'm going to go ahead and let's power it off, first of all. And notice that now that it's off, it actually still keeps that voltage in there. It's still sitting up there at about 15 or 16 volts. So in fact, I'm going to unplug this. Let me get my voltage leads off. And this motor I have wired up to another one of those. I've also got some test leads coming out of there as well. But I'm going to leave this power switch off. It's still in the off position. And watch this motor. In fact, here, I'll go ahead and hook the multimeter up first so we can see the voltage that's still sitting in there. power supply still has, you know, 14, almost 15 volts. Sorry. That's the motor. Goofball. Yeah, there's actually some voltage sitting in the motor, it looks like. Remember, it's a big coil, so okay. But let me actually plug this in. I got that backwards. I'm going to plug it in here to the power supply and watch the motor. I've got some tape on the motor shaft so you can see it turn here. But you can see me plug this in. And notice the motor actually spinned. And that was actually taking up the spinned. The motor actually spun. That's taking up the extra current that was left over in the capacitor inside this power supply there. But oh, okay. Anyhow, so big whoop. Now let me go ahead and turn it on. And notice the motor does in fact turn. So that's all good. And notice that I'm no longer seeing 15 volts or even 16 volts. I'm getting more like 13.7. And that's because I now have a load on that. And so I'm drawing current, so it's not able to produce as much voltage. It's coming down closer to that rated 12 volts DC. Now, I can actually put more load on this motor by pinching the shaft, and I see that now I'm actually able to get it down to about 12 volts or even under, right? So notice I can go below the rated voltage with that. So here I can see sort of what's happening with this unregulated power supply. It's not giving me a consistent DC voltage out. What I get out is based on the load and what the current draw is and any other spikes that might come down. Now in my case, I've got it plugged into a power strip, but if there were other spikes that came down this wire, they could show up in that DC signal there as well. So that's an unregulated power supply. Now, the one other thing I mentioned is the ripple. Remember that filter capacitor was in there to take out some of that ripple. Well, let's go take a look at that as well. So I'm going to turn this off and I'm going to remove my multimeter leads. Let's instead this time hook up an oscilloscope that I have. This is actually, I'll just show it here really briefly. It's a kind of a cool little kit I just got from Velamen. It's the EDU09. It's a chance to go do some soldering if you want and kind of build an inexpensive oscilloscope that you can actually view on your computer. Now, it's not the world's best oscilloscope, but it'll work, and we'll get to see it here. So I'm going to go ahead and hook the red lead from the oscilloscope up and the black lead up. And let me jump over to my computer here. And this is the software for it. You can see sort of the voltages over here. Let me go ahead and hit run. And right now it says it's getting about 0 volts off of that, which is what I'd expect. But let me go ahead and turn this guy on. And there you go. So I can see over here that I've got 5 volts per division. My tape flew off, but okay, it's still turning. You can hear it there. But here's 0 volts, here's 5, 10, and up here's almost 15, and I can see in fact that I'm bouncing between 13.8 and 14.7, up to about a 0.9 or over 1 volt of ripple. That's that zigzaggy line you see coming through there. So again, that's the unregulated portion. In fact, if I pinch on this, we should see the voltages drop. And in fact, my ripple got even significantly larger. Notice up to almost 3 volts in some cases there. So again, unregulated, and that's what we mean. So let me turn that guy off. And now let's go take a look at regulated power supplies. This is an unregulated power supply I had taken apart previously. So in fact, you'll notice that the wire on it is a little frayed, et cetera. So this was a good candidate for tearing apart here. But typically you'll find these larger power bricks are unregulated power supplies. And that's because the extra room is needed for the additional circuitry to ensure the DC voltage that's coming out of these, that it's clean, consistent, ripple-free, et cetera there. But let me go ahead and pop this guy open and sort of show you the guts. Yeah, I didn't want to pop off there, but okay, there you go. And you'll see that it's significantly more involved than what we saw there with the unregulated power supply, right? I've still got the transformer, so there's still a transformer. That's what's helping me step down. But now, in fact, this guy, if I look at it, two things are important. One, from an input voltage perspective, it actually supports between 100 and 240 volts. So much better support on the input voltage range. And it also supports up to 19 volt output with about 4.2 amps load maximum. So anyhow, but I'm not gonna go figure out what all that stuff is in there. It's just all the additional circuitry to deal with the regulation. Now, in fact, you'll see there's a ton of capacitors. I've got coils, which are inductors, all in there as well. And those capacitors and inductors are being used to help ensure the consistent voltage that's coming out of that. So we're going to come back and take a look at that a little bit more, but let's test out another unregulated, or sorry, another regulated power supply. So this one is rated at, where are we at? Again, a wider input range of voltages, but I'm getting 12 volts, 5 amps coming out. So 12 volts and up to 5 amps out of this guy. So that's pretty cool. And let's go ahead and plug it in. And same thing with no load. Let me come back here and we'll get the voltmeter stuck back in here where you can see it. Grab my handy dandy test terminal block here. So this is the terminal block with the leads coming out of it. We'll plug that in and hook the voltmeter up to it. There we go. Looking good. And my power strip is off again. So what's interesting here though is notice the little LED, my finger's pointing at it back here, on the power supply. So I'm actually going to turn it on, and you'll notice that it takes a little bit before that LED turns on and before this voltage actually reads out. And that's because of all those coils and capacitors that we saw inside there. So coils are inductors and they reduce changes in current, and capacitors are storage components and they resist changes in voltage. So with the inductors resisting current and capacitors resisting voltage, those guys take a little bit of time to sort of charge up and get up to the regulated DC voltage that the supply is trying to emit. Now, in fact, when we turn it off, we'll see them also resist turning off and actually stay on for a little bit afterwards. But that's what's happening here. So let me go ahead and turn this on. And there it is, pops on finally. And notice I'm getting right at about 12 volts. And yeah, granted, it's a little bit higher. It's 12.4 or so. But for grins and giggles here, I'm pretty darn close to 12 volts DC on that. And notice that it's not changing. There's no ripple or anything in there. Of course, my unloaded, unregulated one was not rippling either. But it's a nice, clean, consistent 12 volts, and it's exactly what the power supply was rated at. So that's one way that you can find out whether or not the supply you have is unregulated or regulated. And that's if, when you plug it in, you get the voltage that it says. If you get something higher than, or even less than, it should be higher, the rated voltage, it must be unregulated because you're not getting the voltage it said it's supposed to give you. It didn't regulate it. If, however, you measure the output voltage and you're getting pretty darn exactly what it says, then you know that must be a regulated power supply. So that's a quick way to test and figure out what kind you have if you're not sure. Some of them, in fact, if I can find this guy, some of them might even say, in fact, I'll show it down here, that it is a switching power supply, or it might say regulated, or when you purchase it, it might say switching power supply or regulated power supply. And we'll talk about what we mean by switching here in just a second. But if you see that, or if it says regulated, then again, you know it's a regulated power supply. And that is a good thing. All right, so we know we're getting a good clean voltage out. Let's go back here. Again, I'm still getting my 12 volts out. My LED is still on. Let me go ahead and turn off the power strip now and watch how this guy resists going off. It's going to take a while before it drops. And it's dimming, and eventually the LED is going to fade out, and I can see my voltage dropping. Now, remember on my unregulated one, that voltage didn't drop. It kept the voltage. I was able to plug the motor in later and still see the motor turn, and that's because it was eating up the power that was left in that capacitor. Here, there's a drain resistor that's causing that capacitor to dump out what's in there. So we're already down to about a volt, and this will continue dropping down below that. So that's cool. All right, so let's go try the motor. All right, so we'll get the motor back in here. And again, I lost my piece of tape. Let me go stick another one on. All right, so I've got another piece of tape on there so we can see it turn. Woohoo! No fun if it can't see it turn, right? We'll get this plugged in. Let's get it first off to my multimeter. This guy's off, right? Yep. We'll get it plugged in here to the to the regulated power supply. All looks good. And now remember before with the unregulated one, when I turned it on, we got a different voltage than we did without the load. Here, I should get the same regulated 12 volts coming out. So hopefully we can see everything. Here's the LED, here's the motor, here's the multimeter. Let me turn it on. Wait for it to charge. There it goes. I can see the motor turning, so that's good. And sure enough, I'm still getting almost exactly the same voltage that we were without the motor plugged in. That's good. That's regulated. Make sure that my DC voltage is regular. Awesome sauce. Okay, so let's turn that off, and we're going to do one more test here with the oscilloscope. Cool, we'll get that plugged in. Get this guy running here. So again, back over on the oscilloscope, I can see that right now it's off. Let me go ahead and turn this guy on. Charging, there we go. And notice I'm getting a nice clean, let me get that up there. A nice clean 12 volts out of this guy. 12.7, a little bit of a peak there. Only about 0 to 0.3 volts ripple, a much, much cleaner power supply. Awesome. All right, well, so hopefully that makes sense and you understand the difference now between an unregulated power supply and a regulated power supply. And again, there's more to know, and I'll give you links off to some other tutorials and videos and things like that that you can use if you'd like to know more about that. All right, so let me come off this guy. We'll turn this off. And so what makes this guy different is all the circuitry in here. And that circuitry is doing voltage regulation. We saw the capacitors and the inductors and stuff. There's also some diodes hidden down inside of there. And well, it turns out that you can create your own voltage regulators. And in fact, better yet, you can go buy existing voltage regulators. But first, let's go take a little look at what voltage regulators are and get some ideas of the different flavors that exist. So I've opened up this Wikipedia page, and the link to this will be off in the show notes, as all the other links are, and talking about sort of active electrical or electronic regulators. And you see that basically there's sort of two flavors, linear regulators or switching regulators. And so the idea is that a linear regulator is constantly regulating the output voltage by controlling sort of the width of a gate that's there. And so we're always pumping voltage out relative to the input voltage, and any excess voltage has to be thrown away, and we dump that excess voltage as heat. And so linear regulators tend to run hot, and they tend to be relatively inefficient, but they're cheap, they're readily available, they have some other benefits in that they tend to be responsive, they tend to have less ripple in them, etc. But the heat and the inefficiency of them is a big problem. So switching regulators are an alternative to that. In fact, remember I was showing you that brick power supply that said, switched mode power supply in there. So that's really an indicator that this must be a regulated power supply of some kind, because it's a switched, power supply there. But the switch mode power supplies or regulators basically act by turning a switch on and off really quick, right? So imagine the lights in this room. I could turn them on and off and they'd be dimmer. And if I turn them on and off slower, if they were on less often, then the room overall would be dimmer. And if I turned them on really fast or kept it on all the time, the room would be brighter. And so that's exactly what's happening inside your voltage regulators, is we're basically turning the gate on and off. We're not sort of affecting the width of it. And so when it's off, it's off. And there's no excess voltage that we're dumping. There's no loss. There's no inefficiency in that sense. Now, there's still inefficiencies other places in the circuit, so they're not 100%, but they tend to be much higher efficiency than linear regulators. They also, because we're not dumping that excess voltage as heat, cool. We don't have to deal with large heat sinks or dealing with heat issues around them, etc. The downside is they can be a lot more expensive because of all the circuitry to do that, the switching and all that kind of stuff. But anyhow, we're going to come back in and we'll take a look at sort of some linear as well as switch mode regulators there. Something else you'll run into then with these guys is whether or not they're fixed voltage or adjustable. So as an example, this is the L7805. In fact, if I look at it here, you might be able to read the chip number on it. See if I can get that to to focus up. But the L7805 is a popular linear regulator, and in the 78XX series, the last two digits imply the output voltage. So the 05 means this is a 5-volt DC linear regulator. I'm always going to get 5 volts DC out of this. Now there's a 7812, and that's going to give you 12 volts DC out for that. So those guys are fixed, and I don't have to do anything extra to tell it what kind of voltage I want. Now, on the other hand, this guy, in fact, this little itty-bitty circuit chip on here, the tiny one there, that is actually the voltage regulator. That's an MP1584. That guy's an adjustable one. And the adjustable one requires all this additional circuitry, you know, resistors and capacitors and inductors and things like that, as well as this adjustable trim pot down here to help me adjust the output voltage that this guy produces. But the cool thing is I can change what that voltage is. So in one project, maybe I need 5 volts, and another project, maybe I need 3 volts. I can adjust this guy to get the voltage that I want. So that's cool. Now, the one other thing is that these guys both step down the voltage. We take in a DC voltage of some level and we'll produce an output voltage that's less than the input voltage. In fact, it's going to be less than the input voltage by at least what's called the dropout voltage. The dropout voltage is really how much power does this thing need to drive itself. And in the case of these LM7805, you'll find that it's about, you know, call it 1.5, 1.2 volts, something like that. So if I want 5 volts out of this guy, I've got to put in at least 6.5 volts. And to be safe, I should probably be putting in about 7 volts to make sure that I get 5 volts out. But they're step down DC converters. And another term for that is called buck converters. So a buck converter sort of bucks that voltage off. It steps it down, right? The other alternative is a boost converter. And you can't do that with linear regulators, but you can do it with switched regulators. And so with a switching regulator, I actually have the ability to sort of charge up an inductor, and then I can actually create a voltage that's larger than what my input voltage might be. And those are called boost converters. I'm not going to talk about boost converters today, but you can go look them up. They're readily available. And if you need or if you have a situation where you need more voltage out than you're putting in, look at a boost converter. It may meet your needs. All right, so that's pretty much everything about unregulated and regulated power supplies, as well as a really brief introduction to what voltage regulators are and what some of the different flavors of them are. You know, it turns out that you've been using them all along if you've been using these boards, because the Arduino and the Raspberry Pi and particle photons and things like that all have voltage regulators built into them. So in fact, if I jump over to the Arduino site, I can scroll down here, and first of all, under technical specs, I can see that if you're coming in through the barrel power adapter on the Arduino, that's this little guy here, and magically it takes a 2.1 millimeter barrel jack there, but okay. If you put a voltage in through here, it tells you here on the technical specs that that voltage has to be somewhere between, should be somewhere between 7 and 12 volts. You could possibly go lower than that, and you could possibly go higher, but they're kind of recommending that you stick into that range there. So that's good to know. It means that if I'm going to choose, for example, a regulated power supply to actually drive this, you know, can I just plug it directly into the Arduino? And in this case, this guy is rated at 12 volts DC. So yeah, I could actually just use that voltage and it'll help me step that down using a voltage regulator that's on board. So in fact, if I look in there, I can see right next to the power supply or the power jack, there's this little chip right here. And that is actually an MPC117 step down converter that's going to take me down from there to the 5 volts. And in fact, there's another tiny one on there down here that's going to give me the 3.3 volts needed. And you'll notice that over here, I can actually get to those voltages. There's a 3.3 volts and a V33 and a V5. Volt pin here that I can use to actually get to those regulated voltages off of there. So that's kind of cool. But you can also, of course, just drop a voltage right in on VN if you need to. You just want to make sure that you're giving it good, clean, regulated voltage. If I scroll down here, though, I can get other information about it. In fact, you can even pull up the schematics. And so it's no magic that I knew what those regulators were. They're documented for you right here. Here's that NCP1117. And over here is that's the 5-volt step-down regulator. And then the 3.3-volt regulator is over here. It's an LP2985. You can actually go Google those guys and pull up their results. So in fact, here's the MPC117. data sheet. You can read all about it there, find out what the dropout voltage, in fact, there's 1.2 volts. And that kind of ties in with what we were seeing back here of the on the tech specs of, you know, yeah, you could get by with 6 if you really needed to, but you're better off giving it 7. That's going to be a nice margin above the 1.2 volt dropout that's there. I also have the LP2985, and again, I'll put links off to these in the data sheets. You can go read about those guys as well. But you don't need to do anything with them. They're already soldered on. They're already hooked up. They already work on the Arduino. Similarly, I could go in and check out the Pi. And with the Pi, notice it's a much higher current requirement, right? This guy gets up to a 1.8 requirement for a Raspberry Pi 2 Model B, and even higher at 2.5 amps for a Raspberry Pi 3. Now, the LM7805 that I was just playing around with, in fact, let me go pull that guy up here. Notice that it can only give me 1 amp out. So that's not going to be enough. I'm going to need a different voltage regulator if I plan on powering a Pi with the output side of a regulator like that. It just doesn't have the oomph to do it. So again, you want to kind of look at the devices that you're going to use. Well, now in my situation, I'm using the particle photon, so I can pull the particle photons information up. And I can see here that when it's being powered with the USB connector, it can be powered via the onboard micro USB connector or via the VN pin. If you put a power in on the VN pin though, it's not going through the onboard regulator, and so you should make sure that you're feeding a nicely regulated voltage somewhere between 3.6 and 5.5 DC. Make sure that you're regulating that down and that it's good clean voltage. If you do come in through the USB port, it's going to get knocked down to about 4.8 with some internal stuff there. But I only need about 80 milliamps to drive that guy, so it doesn't need a lot of juice. Of course, the things I power off of that to there, but in fact down here they're letting me know you should be able to source up to about 1 amp of current to be on the safe side. So that means that, yeah, sure enough, that LM7805 would be okay for powering a particle photon, and that is in fact what I'm using it for here. So the LM7805, that's the one I'm using here. It's the one that's on the circuit that we saw earlier. They're very common, very popular linear voltage regulators. They're inexpensive. You can get these guys for little as about, you know, probably 60 cents a piece. In fact, if I pull up DigiKey here, you see I'm getting them down at one unit cost of about 62, and they get even cheaper as you go into higher quantities there. But so really inexpensive. Again, the downside of these was the heat. If I come back here and look at this, when you're looking at the data sheet, you ought to be able to, from that, find the dropout voltage. So let me just really quick search for dropout. There you go. And I can see that this guy has 2 volts of dropout. And that means that if I want to power 5 volts, I need to put in at least 7 volts. 5 plus 2 gets me 7. The other thing that you'll find in these data sheets, and there's lots of great information, so read up, but let me scroll down, you can actually get reference schematics. So it's letting me know that if you want to use one of these guys in a circuit, here's what the schematic should look like. And so we're going to take our input voltage, that's going to be the 12 volts DC coming off of my regulated power supply there. We're going to put it into pin 1 on the LM7805, pin 2 will connect to ground, and pin 3 is going to be the output voltage. It's that simple. Now, they also show these capacitors that are going across the input down to ground and the output down to ground. And these are filter capacitors that just help clean up the input voltage and make sure that the output voltage is stable. If I come down here and read about those, you'll see that they're actually optional. You don't have to have them. They're just going to help improve the quality of the voltage that you're getting out of it. The other thing that you'll find is that the ratings for these guys, this is telling me 0.33 microfarads and 0.1 microfarads, you can typically go higher than them. Notice it also didn't call out whether or not they should be ceramic or electrolytic or whatever. So generally, you can kind of switch between the different types. Make sure to read the data sheet for your regulator, though. But for me, I tend to just always use 10 microfarad electrolytic capacitors, and they've worked just fine. In fact, remember, they're really kind of optional. You don't necessarily even have to have them. And in fact, if your input is right next to the regulator and your output is also right next to it, there's very little trace or distance there on those wires where noise can be introduced. So you need them even less. As your outputs and inputs get further away, the capacitors start to have a little more value to them. But that's it. That's pretty much your circuit for using one of these guys. All right. So I've got an LM7805 already set up on this breadboard here, and I was using it earlier to power the particle photon and that string of LEDs that you saw. But let's talk really briefly about what I've got set up here, and you'll see it's really just exactly the circuit that we were just looking at there on the schematic from the data sheet. But you'll notice that I've got power coming in over here, and this is what's coming out from my DC, regulated DC power supply. That's that 12-volt DC power supply that you've seen a few times. If I look at it, though, I can see that I should, sure enough, let's find the ratings on it. Got it upside down. That helps. So 12 volts at up to 3 amps. So I can get 3 amps out of this guy. And so remember my voltage regulator here, the LM7805, could really only put out up to 1 amp. So that leaves me 2 amps left over for these LED dots that I'm driving with it as well. Now, in fact, let me go look those guys up. So I've got the website open here. These are from Adafruit. They're these 30 millimeter dots. And I can see right off the bat 12 volts. But let's scroll down a little bit to the technical details. It tells me that these guys need 12 volts DC and that each dot can consume up to 60 milliamps if they're on full white. And so that's a lot of power when you have a long strip of them. Now, in fact, in my strip, I've got 23 of those bulbs, and 23 at 60 milliamps each. So that's going to put me up between 1.3 and up to 1.4 amps if I turn these guys on full white bright. And so I need to make sure that I've got a power supply that can do it. Well, we just saw that the brick I'm using can handle up to 3 amps. My regulator isn't going to pull any more than 1. In fact, remember we saw the photons dock said really 80 milliamps, but you know, to be safe, give it up to 1 amp. So 1 amp for that, 1.3, 1.4 for the strip. That leaves me at least half an amp or so. I'm getting a little tight on there, but I should have plenty of juice to be able to power the 23 LED bulbs and the photon off of that single power supply. And the LM7805 is going to be what helps me step that 12 volts down from the unregulated, or sorry, from the regulated power supply that I'm using down to the 5 volts that's needed, so I can drop that right into the VN pin on my photon. So let's see that here, right? So here's the voltage rail, as we were saying, coming off of the regulated power supply. So I've got that there. So that means that this red line of dots here is 12 volts, and the blue down here is my ground. I've jumped the grounds together, so this higher voltage rail here, let me get that wire out of the way. So that goes up to this rail here, so the ground up here is connected to the ground down there. And then I come up from my 12 volt rail into pin 1 on that LM7805. Remember, pin 1 was the input. Pin 2 is going down to ground. And pin 3, we're coming up to this rail, and it's going to be my 5-volt rail up there. So I can get 5 volts off of that anytime I need now. So that's really handy. 12 volts in, 5 volts out. Now, my 12-volt rail carries right down to the other side, and these leads are what actually go off to the LED strip to power the LEDs themselves. So that's awesome. One power supply is getting both my photon as well as my LEDs powered. Pretty handy. All right, so now off the 5-volt rail, I'm coming into the VN pin on the photon, and that's getting a nice regulated voltage there. We pull the ground up from that rail. It doesn't matter which one I come off of because I've tied them together over here, so that's good. The only other thing missing are those capacitors. So in this case, I've just grabbed two little 10 microfarad electrolytic capacitors, and electrolytics, see if I can get you where you can read that, it should say 10 microfarads at about 50 volts in there. But the white strip on these guys indicates the negative side. These have a polarity, so I want to make sure that I put the white strip down to ground and the non-white, or the side without the stripe, on up towards my voltage. So, and I got to be careful here not to mess up and get these in the wrong places here, but let me get that guy in. So that's from the input pin down to ground, and making sure that the stripe is on the right side. And similarly on this one, we'll go from the output pin down to ground, being really careful. Being honest, I fried one of those earlier because I got my got them stuck under the wrong pins. So anyhow, kind of cool. So there's that. And then lastly, I'll just go ahead. I'd gotten these jumpers out of the way just so they weren't bothering them, but these are the data lines off to my LEDs. So and the ground. I need a ground. That'll give those a common ground. And then I need my data lines here, A3. Move that up one so I can see it better. And A5. Awesome. Cool. So this guy should now be ready to go. Let's go ahead and power it up and see what we get. Awesome. I can see the photon light blinking. We'll let it sync up to the cloud there and start running the sketch that's on it. And that's going to put those LEDs into that sort of rotating rainbow. There they go. So you should be able to see those firing off now. So, okay, cool stuff. Let's get this multimeter back in here where we can see it, and I'll turn it off and back on over to VDC to refresh it. And so now let's go ahead and see what we're getting out of this guy. So we're going to measure the 12-volt rail first. I'll plug into ground and positive voltage. And sure enough, I'm getting 12 volts, a little bit under. I'm actually placing some load on that power supply now, so it's dropped down a little bit, but it's keeping pretty darn close to 12 volts. And let's go measure the 5-volt rail. Yep, and sure enough, I'm 4.94, looking pretty good. That's that regulated output coming out of the LM7805. So that's cool. Now, remember I said the downside of these guys is that they get hot. In fact, I can feel it already starting to get a little bit warm here. So, in fact, my multimeter here has a handy-dandy little temperature sensor. So let me go get that hooked up. All right. So I can see here that the room temp right now is, you know, it's reading about 77, 78 or so. And I'm going to take this temperature probe, which is the little tip here on the end of this, and I'm just going to touch it right against the metal on the back of that LM7805. And woo, it's shooting up there. And that's what I mean by hot, right? So this guy's getting up to 125 degrees over. That's Fahrenheit, by the way. But you can see where this could start to get a little unsafe, right? So in fact, that's why you'll see those exact same voltage regulators, but with a big old heat sink attached onto the back. And that heat sink is just there to sort of dissipate the heat, pardon me, away. You've got little fins here so the air can move across it and help cool it down. And that'll help. I won't take the time to actually hook it up here and show it to you. It will be cooler, but it's still going to be warmer than room temp, and it could be warm enough that it's still a little bit of concern. Maybe you'd need to put a fan across it or something to cool it down even more, right? So that's the downside of these linear voltage regulators, is that they're inefficient, and that inefficiency shows up as the waste voltage being dumped as heat. Right? So yeah, that guy's getting a little uncomfortable just to hold on to. So there's the concern. So to the rescue are switched mode regulators. And so the cool thing about this is one of my favorite little ones here. Let me turn this off so the lights aren't quite so distracting, is that this one is actually a pin per pin replacement for the LM7805. This is from CUI. It's the V7805. And in fact, this is the -1500. That means that I can actually pull up to 1.5 amps out of this. And in fact, there's a V7805-2000 that'll give you up to 2 amps out of this. Still not enough to drive a Pi, but plenty to drive an Arduino or you know, could be close enough to a Pi if you weren't overtasking the Pi there. So anyhow, let me go ahead and show you. I can just pull out the LM7805 here. And again, I got to be really careful to make sure I get things in the right place here. I mentioned I'd fried some components earlier when I was testing. So just checking that all the pins are correct. But that's it. It's that simple, right? So I've got my three pins, the same. They're the same input, ground, and output, same order, same spacing, everything. So I can pull out an LM7805 and just drop in one of those CUI V7805s. And there's other ones out there as well. Let me go ahead and just power this on and make sure it works. Yep, sure enough, I can see the photon booting up, connecting to the cloud, and I can see the LEDs starting to drive. So that's fantastic. And again, I should be getting the same 5 volts out of it. I assume you trust me on that at this point. So that's pretty awesome. The downside of this is that this guy was pretty expensive. If I actually go look these up, here's the data sheet for it. So you can see it's a switching regulator here, up to 1.5 amps current output. And if I look at the voltage range for the 7805-1500, I need to supply at least 6.5 and up to 18 volts. So really you can sort of see the dropout voltage right there of, you know, 1.5 volts. And again, you can scroll down here and see a reference sort of schematic implementation for it. And it's going to look pretty much the same thing. VN, Vout, two down to ground, and I've just got the capacitors coming down to ground there. So it's pretty much identical. It does, however, give me some different values for the capacitors. It's telling me that I should be using a 10 microfarad on the input and a 22 microfarad on the output. But again, if you read the notes, it says, yeah, you can go ahead and increase them. It's not gonna be a big deal. So, all right, so again, I tend to get by, well, in fact, they're optional. But I tend to get by generally with 10 microfarad electrolytics on the inputs and outputs. But again, swim at your own risk, read your data sheets, and use what you think is appropriate. Let me go actually pull up some sourcing for this on DigiKey, and you can see that they start at like $9.85 a piece, so pretty much 10 bucks a pop there. So you gotta want it, right? In small quantities, I like them just because they're easier to deal with than the heat coming out of those LM7805s. So I really like them, but yeah, they're pricey. So both of those guys, the LM7805 and that V7805, are fixed voltage regulators. In fact, remember the O5 in that meant you're always gonna get 5 volts coming out of that. Another really popular one are these MP1584EN chips. Now, in fact, the chip itself is this little tiny guy with all those 6 pins coming out of it. That's actually the chip there. But this is a voltage, or an adjustable voltage regulator. And all the additional circuitry are those input and output filter capacitors that we were talking about. Remember, I was using my 10 microfarad electrolytics. It's got some other ones on here. There's an inductor on there to help sort of smooth things out as well. There's the resistors for, you know, the setting the target voltage, etc. And in fact, there's this handy little trim pot here that I can use to adjust the voltage to exactly what I want. So let me go pull the data sheet up on this guy. And you'll notice right off the bat, this guy actually supports up to 3 amps. So that's really cool, right? So you can see where I actually could start to power this guy or power up high with one of these. But if you look at sort of the typical application on this, wow, that's a lot more involved than the circuit we looked at for the LM7805 or the V7805. And so that's where getting them on these little boards is really handy. They've done all the work for you and, in fact, given you a little trim pot there that you can use to adjust it. So these guys are pretty readily available and pretty inexpensive. If I just go search the net for an MP1584EN, you'll see a lot of different references come back. You can get to the data sheet and all that kind of stuff. But you can see sort of links off to these boards. In fact, if I were to just jump up to Amazon here, you'll notice that, in fact, here I can get a 6-pack of them for about $8, right? So, I mean, you're getting down to less than $2 a piece there. So, again, pretty cool. Notice that there's other ones that you can look at in here as well. This is also where you might go to look for a boost converter if you needed something like that. The only downside is when they ship, there's no pins on it. It's just the board. And so for me to hook it up in this case, I went ahead and soldered some pins down onto the bottom. I'll just show you that really quick. Just to make it easier to stick into a breadboard, and then you've got this problem of how am I going to actually put it into my circuit board if I'm going to use it. You know, you kind of end up doing that and dropping it on, or it's not really, it's got through holes, so it's really not set for surface mount. But anyhow, crud, now I forgot which way I was going there. All right, so let me go ahead and hook this guy up. Oh, actually, one other thing. So as I look at this, you'll notice that on the back of it, it tells you where's your in and out, and which side is positive and which side's negative. You know, so I see that my out negative is up here, so that's the in negative. The out positive is down here, so that's the in positive down there. And so you just got to remember that over here. So now I have the ins over here on this side and the outs over here on this side. And they give you a little positive icon down there on the board so you can see that. So these are the outs, positive and ground, in positive and ground. So anyhow, you sort of look at the back of the board to try and figure all that stuff out. Just remember it's reversed from when you swap it around. But so now I can just drop this onto my breadboard, and there you go. This is basically the same layout. I'm going to pull my 12 volts in over here, 12 volts out over here for the LEDs. We're going to pull the output of this guy up. That's going to be my 5-volt rail, and then we'll power the photon with that. So let me go hook that up and get all the... I'll tell you what, let's start out with just the 12 volts, and I'll show you adjusting this guy, and we'll see that. So let me get that set up here. All right, so I've got this here all ready to go. Let me take my voltage. These are the ones coming in off of my regulated power supply. We'll go ahead, this is off still. Yep, so the regulated power strip the strip with the regulated power supply is off. So I'm going to go ahead and hook up my input voltages here. And just like before, this is going to be my 12-volt rail down here. And then we're going to go ahead and hook up the volt meter down here to ground. And positive volts, looking good. We'll get that in here where you can see it. Looking good, okay. And I'm gonna go ahead and power on the power strip now then. And we should see that, yep, sure enough, we're getting 12 volts coming in. That looks good. And if I come up here to the top rail, I'm getting, it looks like pretty much 5 volts dead on. So I did a really good job of setting that earlier, right? But here's that output voltage coming up. It's up here to the 5-volt rail, and that's what I'm measuring. Pretty much dead on at 5 volts. Well, remember I mentioned that there's this little trim pot, this little potentiometer down here that I can turn to adjust. So in fact, I'm just gonna take a little Phillips head screwdriver here, and I'll turn that. And you'll notice that as I do, the voltage changes, right? So now I'm going down below 4, I'm down to, you know, 4 volts, and I'm barely turning this guy, so it's really sensitive. I can crank it back up. Let's go up above 5 volts. Looks like I'm getting up to, you know, 6 volts into the 7-volt range, etc. Right, so you can kind of adjust this and tweak it to get the output voltage that you need. I'd have to go read the data sheet. I can't remember off the top of my head exactly what the full range is, but you can move throughout that and get the voltage that you need. So let me pull this back down. 5.8, 5.4, 3, 2, 1. A little too far, overshot it. Come back up. There you go. Ah! Okay, well, good enough. There's 4.99, 5 volts, whatever. Good enough. Cool? So I'm getting the voltage out that I need to drive the photon. So let me turn this off again, just so it's safe. And I'm going to go ahead and we can get these test leads out of the way. Get my photon hooked up here. So got that plugged in. The VN, same as before, coming out of VN, ground is coming up, so that's all the same. Notice that it's a little bit cleaner here without having to stick all those electrolytic capacitors on there. Of course, they're all on that, right? So lots of additional circuitry on there than what I had before, but in general, it looks cleaner because it's all nicely packed onto that board. And so now I can take my strip here and get it plugged in, ground, and yellow goes into A5. And the green goes into A3, looking good. And the last thing I need to do is actually give the strip power. So this is off the 12-volt rail down here. Remember, 12 volts down here. I can pull this guy out of the way and go ahead and drop that in there and ground. So that should get those the voltage they need. And I think we're starting to look pretty darn good here. So let me go ahead and power this up. Hopefully I didn't mess anything up there. Yep, looks like the photon's booting up, connecting to the cloud. You can do it. Let's go. It knows it's being watched, and there you go. Awesome. Cool, so my LEDs are being driven, and that's that. Now, I didn't mention it. I don't think I mentioned it on the V7805, but this guy being a switch mode power supply, same thing with this V7805. Again, remember the benefit here of the switch ones is more efficient, no heat. So these guys are not going to get hot, or at least not as hot as those LM7805s did. So I didn't measure it before, but this guy would have been pretty darn cool, pretty close to room temp. For that. Same thing here, this guy doesn't get hot. Now the one thing I do want to be careful of, in fact it looks like I just tweaked it there. I must have touched something that messed it up. See if it will reconnect. Alright, there it goes. Just perfect timing. Man, that trim pot is dangerous because somebody could tweak it. In fact, right now I just accidentally touched it. Remember how sensitive it was. I very easily could have turned that to a point where this photon was not getting the input voltage that it needed anymore, or even worse, that I was overpowering and possibly even fried it. So these guys are cool, but the adjustable part of that means that you might want to drop, you know, some hot glue or something like that on that to prevent somebody from accidentally turning it once you get it set exactly the way that you need it. Otherwise, you're always wondering, did it get moved or not? Anyhow. There you go. So I think that should give you a pretty good overview. We talked about unregulated and regulated power supplies. We talked about linear and switched voltage regulators, as well as fixed and adjustable voltage or buck and boost converters out there. We looked at the regulators that are built into the popular boards that you may already be working with. And of course, you can always look up the spec sheets of the boards that you're using to see what their voltage requirements are. And then we went through looking at the LM7805 linear regulator and how to use that. Talked about heat being an issue with those, and that you might be able to drop heat sinks on or something to mitigate that, or converting over to a switch mode power supply like that CUI V7805 that was a pin for pin replacement of the LM7805. More expensive, but no heat. And then I showed you those MP1584 adjustable regulators and the handy little boards that you can get them on to easily drop them into your projects. But with all that information, my hope is that you now feel empowered to go off and create projects that use components of all different kinds of voltages. Make sure to bookmark themakershow.io to keep track of all the episodes. Follow The Maker Show at The Maker Show on Twitter. And my name's Brett Statham, and I'll see you next time on The Maker Show.